please step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 647. My name is Lisa Sheps, and I am joined by the inimitable Miss Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
You're listening to the two of us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby. We are streaming live as we do on this day at KOOP.org. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Step right up, the show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh yeah.
Light a rose, I'm home again, rose, to get the sun back in the sky. Light a rose, I'm home again, rose, about a thousand kisses shy.
It is Wednesday, December 15th, 2021. On the show today, we have Zach Theaters and their production of Christmas Carol with the incomparable Mr. Mark Puhay. And then later on, we'll be talking to Jason Williams and his show, Blood and Christmas, which is going to be done at Stateside at Paramount. And of course, Nicole and I will have lively discussions of the World Theater in New York, Chicago, Mason City, Haines, Clear Lake, Mason City, all of those. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Light a rose, how everyone knows that I am hoping you're the same. So
here is my love song.
I totally forgot that about that song. You played that, and I was like, whoa, what is this? Wait a minute. And then I was like, whoa, I totally forgot about that song.
It's the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, just totally forgot about that song.
There they are. Do you know why I'm playing something from The Music Man?
Did they announce more stuff?
No. There is an article that came out today in the New York Times, which I found very interesting. I'm looking for the, there it is. So the Music Man, so this is written, at the New York Times, written by Amanda Morris. The headline is, "The Music Man once had a disabled character, then he was erased." So, when Meredith Wilson first wrote this, it appears that he wrote it, the brother was not just a boy with a lisp. He was a boy with a disability that was made fun of throughout the town. And it was a much darker show that had issues around disabilities.
Fascinating.
Yeah, and the original character name, it wasn't Morales. That's a different show altogether. What's his name?
I don't know. I've got Marion in my head now.
It's Winthrop.
Yes. There you go.
But the character's name was Jim Peru, and he was in a wheelchair. So the townspeople. So in that day, people with disabilities were just locked up.
Right.
So, and I'm just reading this directly from the Times. This is a quote. Quote, "Wherever Jim goes, townspeople want to lock him up. And in some version, this drives him to hide and live in the school basement instead of home. Then Harold," which is Harold Hill, "comes along and challenges the community's assumptions about Jim by bringing him into the band and finding an instrument he's capable of playing with his limited range of motion. The early title for the show, The Silver Triangle, highlights Jim's instrument of choice and contribution to the band." Isn't that interesting?
Very. I wish you could see my face. You can't see my face, but my face is like just fascinated by this. Fascination is written all over my face right now.
Yeah. And so there's lots of, it evidently went through lots of different different iterations.
I'd love to read a script. Yeah, I'd love to read one of those iterations that like, with
right?
all that.
And in one of the scripts, there was a deleted song that Jim, who's nonverbal, starts to sing alone on stage. So it's actually a very creative way of handling, you know, what a nonverbal character thinks. We did that with our show at Ground Floor Theater that I just lost the name of, and I directed it. Anyway, 10 months before the show was to open, Wilson dropped the character Jim, replacing him with Winthrop. Because the producers felt there was no place for serious representations of disabled people on stage.
Hmm. So that's quite fascinating.
Found
I'm
it very
check
interesting.
That article out.
Yeah, and so to this day, I mean, we don't see a lot of representation of disabilities on stage. You know, there's the character of Nessa in Wicked is in a wheelchair, but has never been played by someone confined to a wheelchair. Of course, spoiler alert, she does walk in the show, so it would have to have someone that could walk.
And I just read that they were looking for an actress in a wheelchair for the film, correct?
Yes, they're opening it up. Yes, of course, they are, indeed. They would like someone in a wheelchair at the film. And of course, if there's someone that's unable to walk themselves, of course, as I mentioned, a lot of people in a wheelchair can still walk. They just may not be able to walk for any given length of time. But if it's a film, they can work with CGI.
I was like, we have CGI. I mean, come on now.
Yep. And of course, we had the first wheelchair-bound actor to win a Academy Award in, totally lost her name again.
Allie
Stryker, who played 8 Annie in Oklahoma. It wasn't an Academy Award. I'm sorry. It was a Tony. But they talk about some of the accessibility. So there's a lot of problems in getting more representation, and there's not a lot of training programs for disabled actors. We have a couple here in town, and there are a couple around the country. But I thought another interesting thing is another reason is the perception of the audiences. Is people, audiences don't want to see that represented on stage. It's interesting.
That's just sad.
To me, that means that audiences need to be trained. That's it. So, I mean, it's not a chicken and the egg. It's if you build it, they will come situation, in my opinion. We just need to do it.
Yeah, why do you do it? I mean, I'd like to know where this poll is where people say that they don't want to see that. That's just weird.
Well, I don't think it's a poll. I think it's anecdotal. But yeah, I hear you.
Right.
So we did have a couple of openings last week. I believe it was Wednesday night after our last show here on the radio. The new Company opened on Broadway, starring Katrina Link. And it was widely accepted as a really good show, with the exception of one newspaper.
And which paper was that?
It would be the New York Times. Jesse Green did not like this at all.
Yeah, I know. I found that a little, like, I didn't sit and read them all, but I gathered from what I was reading, like, he was the only one. I'm like, really?
Yeah, he was the only one. But universally, people, and this broke my heart because I love Katrina Link, most everybody said she was miscast in the role and didn't bring a lot to it.
I was about to say, I think it was a miscast thing. I don't think it's because we love Katrina Link any less. It's just this was not the role for her.
She had trouble with, I believe a lot of the songs were not in her range. Anyway, this show was directed by...
Yeah, see, that's a prop. That stinks.
True. This was directed by Marianne Elliott. And this is the gender bent version where Bobby is not B-O-B-B-Y, but B-O-B-B-I-E. Patti LuPone is in it, and she got raves across the board.
Yeah, it's Patti.
And evidently there's like very little changes to her two songs, and that character.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Yep. So one of the things I think that they may have missed the boat on with the Bobby character is they literally flipped the show for the most part where male-female. So sticking with the heteronormative aspect of the show, the three suitors that in the original version were all three men, this time are three women, are all three men. I think it could have been spread out to have one of those men a woman and maybe made Bobby a little bit more.
Women and men, yeah. Yeah. I thought that's what was happening, so I was a little thrown off by that. Like, wait a minute, all you did was switch genders. I thought this was like... So I was surprised by that, too, and I agree with you, Lisa.
And there was one gay couple, and I forgot which ones they are, that of the couples that in the original were all heterosexual couples. So that's it. So other reviewers said... Matt Weinman of the New York, AM New York, said the production contains superb staging, visual design, including an oversized party balloons, an Alice in Wonderland motif, and even a rainfall effect, musical direction and casting with one notable exception, .. Juan Michael Porter II of Did They Like It said, fortunately, Elliot's creative team and otherwise delightful cast prove that Company can be glorious even without a vibrant center to hold it together. Tim Tiemann said 2.5 hours, a sublime entertainment that becomes more sublime and more pleasurable as it consumes. It is transporting experience, an emotional one, a full meal with a dessert, and at least two drinks of your choice. And finally, Vulture's Helen Shaw said, Lapone is not just a showstopper here, not just a gravitational force, not just a plummy, hammy delight dressed by Bunny Christie in a fur coat as subtle and spherical as a hostess snowball. She's also an ideal expositor of the maestro's work, that maestro being Esteban Sondheim.
Esteban.
So, yeah, widely liked. It's something I would like to see, even with Katrina Link in it. And they did the opening scene on one of the morning shows yesterday, I think. Did you happen to see that video?
I think it was yesterday. I did see a little bit of it, but I got a phone call in the middle and paused it and never went back.
Yeah, it's interesting. They did it outside the theater, and I don't know why they didn't do it in the theater, because evidently it's a rendition of the opening number. And the scenic design is very interesting to me. If the audience can see a stage, on it is a little box of a room with four walls and a ceiling that represents, I guess, a studio apartment where in this show, I'm assuming Bobby lives. And all those people are crammed into this little box, with the exception of the three suitors who are outside the box. And they choreograph inside of it. I thought it looked pretty amazing.
Yeah, it did look really cool. I think it was Good Morning America, I think, was the one it was on.
I think you were right. I linked to it from Playbill, so that's how folks can find it easily.
I saw it on the Playbill, so that's how I did it too. So, you know, I'm not surprised they didn't do it on the stage. Most of the time when they come and do these musical numbers, even on the Today Show, they do them outdoors in the plaza, even in the dead of winter.
Oh, well, this wasn't
very
in the plaza.
Bizarre
this,
to me.
This wasn't in the plaza. This was in front of the theater. So that's what didn't
right,
make
right,
sense to
because
me.
Because they don't have, well, Good Morning America doesn't have the plaza like the Today Show. So they
right, I know, but what I don't understand is why they wouldn't just do it 100 feet behind them and do it in the theater. Just that's
because of COVID protocols, equity, the things.
It's 10 times
more. Oh, I'm just going to tell you, from working with them right now and stuff, it's 10 times more, and doing it outside takes off like 5 pages of extra.
Got it. Okay. Then there's also the big, I wish I had my sound effect. Dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
Did you see this thing about the Sondheim playbills for opening night?
What is up with that?
So there was a special...
And where are they going to end up? On eBay or somewhere? I mean,
they did.
Let's
tell the listeners what we're talking about first. On opening night of Company, which of course was like days after Sondheim passed away, they had a special playbill cover with a black and white photograph of Stephen Sondheim, which immediately became a collector's item. Two boxes disappeared, fell off the truck. They did not even have enough for the VIPs in the audience. So they became a big get.
No, Page Six even said Cynthia Nixon was looking for one.
Cynthia Nixon did not get one. No. So they did find one on eBay auction that started at $500.
But see, could that have been someone that was there that night? Or yes. Is that actually the boxes missing?
Well,
Do you get what I mean?
So. I would think they have no way to trace that.
Exactly.
So that's an interesting thing. Okay. Oh, boy. We're not going to have time to talk about anything. We just keep chit-chatting. Another show that opened just the other night was Flying Over Sunset, which is the story of, which is an interesting story of Aldous Huxley, Cary Grant, and Claire Booth Luce got together and had an LSD trip.
LSD trip. Lisa, I kept seeing this commercial when I was a home up east, and I kept going, did I really just hear Cary Grant on an LSD trip? I'm very confused right now.
Yeah, and this is
And the creative team is bananas.
It's written and directed by James Lapine, speaking of that. And so it stars Harry Hayden Patton as Aldous Huxley. Cary Grant is played by Tony Yazbek, and Claire Booth Luce is Carmen Cusack. And it just talks about their trips. It's a musical. All the music is done while they're in an LSD trip, which makes sense.
And didn't Next to Normal, Tom Kitt, didn't he from Next to Normal do the music? And someone from, I think, Grey Gardens.
Yeah, I'm looking for it. Yes, I believe that. So this is Lincoln Center Productions. Oh, I thought I underlined all that so I wouldn't lose it. But
because
yes,
I was like,
you're
what
right.
What a crazy, like, you take the music and the subject of Next to Normal and the music and the subject of Grey Gardens, and it seems appropriate that these are the two, you know, one from each of these teams writing this music for this. It's just all fascinating to me. I was like, wait a minute, come again?
So the music was written by half of the Next Normal team, Tom Kitt, but also Michael Corey.
That's the Grey Gardens, one of the Grey Gardens team members.
So it didn't fare really, really well. I don't have time to go through and read it, but you can get links to the Did They Like It page on offstageonair.com.
What a strange concept. I want to know what made them think of doing this.
Yeah. Also, you can find about another musical called Wild that just opened in at ART in Boston. Diane Paulus at the helm, and one Idina Menzel as the lead. We should also say here that Diana, which was slated to run through through next year, is closing this coming Sunday.
Early.
Yeah, this coming
19th.
Sunday.
Yeah.
And finally, did you hear that Nicole Kidman is not going to be singing on Broadway? I knew this would break your heart.
No, I'm thrilled.
I know you are. So, yeah, I play this just for you, is that she thinks Broadway's too much. So we're going to hear Nicole Kidman, and then we're going to go to our first guest. So here is Nicole Kidman.
Any more singing for you in the future? Would you do Broadway?
I don't think my voice singing? Is strong enough. It's not strong enough. I mean, Broadway is like...
taxing, yes.
And also... I just would feel so insecure. I want to go and watch Broadway. I love going to Broadway. I can't wait to see Hugh Jackman.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah,
music man, here we come.
Yeah.
I don't feel strong enough or secure enough to sing on Broadway.
Jason Williams, welcome to the Zoom room of Offstage and On the Air.
It's good to be here. It's really good to be here.
It's good to have you. I don't know if we've had you on Zoom before. Have we?
I don't know. I think
I don't think we have.
I'm not sure. I've done so much Zooming, you know, that it all kind of melts together after.
Well, I'll tell you right now, it's been a coon's age since I've seen you. And I'm not sure how long that is, but I think it's pretty long.
It is. Pretty long, and we're going to something's going to get done about that.
So
You're celebrating Christmas west of the Pecos.
Yeah, I am. We referred to Christmas at home with my mother as blood and holly. So she got extremely nervous at Christmas. She wanted it to be right. And so we had this very kind of Sunnybrook Farm existence with a little booze hidden away until Christmas. And then it turned into Franco, Spain. And it was really rough. I did not care for Christmas as a child. And there were so many. I remember my mother, God bless her, when flocked Christmas trees came out many, many years ago, and you could flock, you're out there flocking your tree in the yard. God, that sounds terrible. But
hey,
anyway.
For the Jewish people in the audience, can you tell me what flocked is? I have no idea.
You spray it with this stuff. You use your vacuum cleaner and a hose and a big bag of probably something that is absolutely deadly.
It's got to be toxic.
It's got to be toxic. And you spray it on a tree, and it looks like the tree is heavy in snow. And it can be really, really beautiful. So my mother, I flocked the tree, and my mother bought all of these red cardinals at Neiman Marcus and put them on the tree. It was absolutely stunning, but our cat had a complete nervous breakdown. He didn't hold up well at all. And you'd hear mother, he's after the tree. You know, so this was typical.
Well, okay, so your show Blood and Holly tells the story of your, this lovely Christmas of yours?
Well, what it is, what I really wanted to do was give a voice to the holiday season, to all sorts of people. And the first part of it is about Mother at Christmas, which is always a great warm-up act, you know. But after that, I'm dealing, you know, I've created a whole host of people at Christmas time, everything. I had a friend that I got this idea from. She said she could always tell when the first hard freeze had happened in Waco, because her old maid aunts would not have eyebrows. They would have burnt them off lighting the gas stoves. And that one of them could do the fake brows, but the other one's hands were shaky, and so they looked like black lightning bolts.
which are in fashion these days.
I know. They were just ahead of their time. But they are characters among it. Have a section with a minister who's dealing with his daughter, who is 5'11" in the seventh grade. And there's a nativity scene that goes bad because too many guys show up bearing myrrh and all raving hell comes down. And then the final scene of the show, I've got tons of stuff in there, but the final scene, something I've been wanting to write for years, and it's a elderly gay man.
Three elderlies.
Yeah, he's triple elderly, and he spends every Christmas Eve in the same gay bar for over 50 years in San Antonio, and he is a stitch, and he's also... you know, he's a throwback to the past. You know, so much has happened in terms of liberation. So much hasn't happened, but a lot has. And to give a voice to the past, to when there were a lot of people who had to kind of hang out in dark corners, you know, so that people can be in the light now. And he was one of those characters, you know, and he taught lip sync 101 in the 1970s.
And is he a completely fictional character? Or is he based on anybody you know?
My dear departed friend Larry Randolph, who was my first acting teacher, and was one of the most amazing creatures I've ever known. He did it. One year he had worked on Hotel as the television series Hotel as a doctor.
I loved that show.
I did too. And one year he gave me Elizabeth Taylor's glasses, reading glasses that she had worn in the show. That was my Christmas present. And that was the kind of person he was. He was generous and he was funny and he was very, very loving. He taught at Texas Tech when I was there many, many years ago. And there's a great story because we had another guy that taught at Tech whom I loved dearly also. And he'd been injured in the war. So he had a glass eye and was a great teacher. But when he would, because of the war injury, once in a while, he would kind of stammer. And so years later, they were doing Tuna in San Francisco and Larry called me and he said, well, the producer's finally taken new pictures. Said he's finally put up the money to take new pictures, but he hired a blind photographer. And I said, he hired a blind photographer. He said, yeah. I said, how does that work? He said, well, the guy could see at one time. He can't anymore. So he brought an assistant who pushes the button. I said, how are the pictures? He said, a little blurry. He said, but then he called the producer and he said, Charles, that's fine. Blind photographer is nothing. I used to work with a one-eyed stutterer who taught voice for the actor.
There you go.
That was Larry and part of my soul.
Awesome. Well, it sounds like a lovely man inside a nice of Japan tribute to him. So in typical Jason Williams fashion, you obviously have lots of characters in this piece. Do you have a favorite?
Oh, one of the ones I really like is because I'm really different from her. But I love her difference is a redneck mother who is working on one of those, you know, those Christmas letters you get that are 5 pages long and say, you know, Aunt Verna's bunions are still in bad shape. And, you know, I can't write 5 pages of what I did in the last year. I certainly don't want to hear it from anybody else. But I wrote a fake letter several years ago from a redneck mother and sent it out to people I know with a fake return address to see if they would get it. And it has become the basis of that particular scene. She's a, you know, she's a redneck grandmother who's raising her own grandkids and doing all the stuff. And she's very upset because she ordered a 3-foot concrete Jesus for her garden. And they sent her a St. Francis of Assisi and she's not having it. She's very anti-vegan.
There's a very big difference between Jesus and Assisi.
Yeah, there really was. So, but I particularly love her because she's just one of those Texas women who says exactly what's on her mind. And, you know, what's on her mind is quite often something I can't tolerate myself, but it's funny to hear. Yep. And it's kind of like the Tuna stuff that we did in that we always tried to treat characters, even those that we disagreed with a certain amount of affection.
Of course. Because that's what makes them real. And that actually is what makes them funny.
Absolutely. So, but she's a lot of fun. She's got a grandson that's just driving her crazy. He wants knives for Christmas.
And, who doesn't?
She said, how many knives did you get for your birthday? And she said, you know, I know they're all rubber. There's a very good reason for that because you're 7 years old. Well, I'm sure your mother would let you have real knives. And when she gets her one phone call a week, you can say that to her. So.
Awesome. Well, your show plays this weekend, Friday and Saturday at Stateside.
Back home.
You know, yeah. Where can folks go to find information about the show?
I would assume at the Paramount State box office. Is that
right? AustinTheater.org would be where folks would go. And you have a show Friday night and then Saturday, two shows at 2 and 8.
And you know, I spent how many Christmases in a row, decades in that block on Congress Avenue.
Yep.
I mean, and to be able to come back, it feels like coming home.
Yeah. Well, I just love that theater. I think the last time I saw you perform was at the Stateside.
Yeah. I love the space and I love the people who run it. They're very, very good.
Awesome. Well, I should tell folks that of course, the Stateside has COVID mitigation, policies in place, and you can find information about that at the same website, austintheater.org. Just look at events and find Blood and Holly to see and hear and experience the incomparable Jason Williams.
Kind, but thank you.
Jason, thank you so much for coming on our show once again.
Love you guys, and soon in person.
Yay!
Looking forward to it.
This one's for the whole family.
Take it, mother.
Oh, I feel a mighty quake. The South begins to shake under a family tree.
I'm Christian Ortega.
I'm Graham Dalling, and we're with the National Theatre of Scotland, and you're listening to Offstage and On the Air
on KOOP HD1, Hornsby, Austin.
Hornsby, Austin, National
that
Theatre of Scotland.
That made me smile. I love that you chose them.
I knew it would. That's why I did choose them.
They were fun. That show was so great. I know we always say that, but I mean, it's just so true.
Right before we went off the air to the interview, or when we went off the air, you told me offline that I had mentioned Jason's show as Blood and Christmas, and that was just me typing the wrong thing. We know it's Blood and Holly.
Well, I mean, there's a Christmas in it later because it is a Christmas.
It is a Christmas show. But. There you go. we have like
love that Jason.
Who doesn't? He's so wonderful. Did you see that Freestyle Love Supreme is going on tour?
I saw that. I also saw they had to cancel some shows.
Yeah, well, let's talk about them going on tour first, and then next thing we're going to talk about them canceling the shows. But they're going on tour, and I just wanted to mention it because they're coming to San Antonio on May 17th.
Yeah, I was like, where's the Austin people?
Yeah, no, they're not Austin, but they're coming to San Antonio the 17th through the 22nd. I might try to go see them.
Okay.
I haven't seen the Netflix special, but I think that they're better
me
live.
Me neither.
I mean, it's
yeah.
From what I've seen, what I saw on the Tonys, or I guess it was the Tonys that they were on.
We always talk about the energy in the room when you see live performance, but they especially, the type of performance that they do really feeds off of the live energy in the room, I think.
So I agree. Think well, and they also need the, you know, It's
the people.
It's an improv, so they need the people to mm-hmm. move things along. So as you mentioned, they have canceled shows because of COVID-19, and so many shows have been canceling.
I was
lately.
Like, there's a few right now that had to cancel some. They are not
Mrs.
the only
Doubtfire.
One.
There
was another one today.
There was another. I think Wicked maybe. There's been like four or five Broadway shows that have had to cancel because of COVID. And also happening in the UK as well in the West End. So this isn't good.
Ain't Too Proud, I think, might have been
yes,
the other
Ain't
one.
Too Proud was the one that came out today. Yeah, but that's...
Is that what it was? Okay, I was trying to remember. I'm like, I saw it this morning with Mrs. Doubtfire. But
yeah, that's not good. I just got a note today from one of my cast members. And it has not tested positive, but they're waiting for the test results back. They're not feeling well. So, scary.
Well, these apparently they all said were breakthrough cases, and some of the cast, I believe, in some of the shows were feeling fine, and some in the cast in the shows were not. And
well, they say the breakthrough cases.
Regardless, they had to cancel.
You're right. They say the breakthrough cases, especially people that have had boosters, are very, very mild. But it doesn't matter. Yeah. If you've got it, you've got
it. No, it doesn't matter. Yeah. You got it. You got to be safe. Exactly.
I know. So it's not good. But there you go.
But I appreciate how safe and everybody's doing it, and where everybody's, you know, not freaking out, taking precautions, doing what they need to do. And I appreciate that.
Yep, me too. In other news, Karen Olivo has come out of retirement again.
Well, Lisa, we wondered how long it was going to be. And I have to be quite honest with you, it was a lot sooner than I anticipated.
Third time's a charm. Folks will remember that she was in Jagged Little Pill? No, Moulin Rouge. And opted to not come back after COVID, saying that, I'm sorry, I used the wrong pronouns. They have now come out as non-binary, using they, them pronouns. So they were in Moulin Rouge and opted not to come back, citing a lot of issues. They were very vocal about the reasons why they were not coming back around the theater.
But with teaching was part of it too, right?
Pardon me?
Teaching was part of it too, right?
Well, she was.
Didn't they get a teaching gig or something?
They did before, but that was that was the first retirement.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe that was the first retirement.
I thought we went back to teaching again on the second.
They probably did. Anyway, this show is called We Won't Sleep. It's about the first American congresswoman. It's a bio musical based on the life of Jeanette Rankin, who was elected to Congress in 1916, 3 years before women were given the right to vote, which is amazing.
That's really amazing. Well, I mean, they said they'd come out of retirement if it was something good or proper or at the right time. So I guess this piece being put in front of them,
I guess,
made them go, oh.
So this show has music and lyrics by Ari Asfar and a book by Lauren Gunderson. Choreography is Yusha Marie Soranzo and direction by Aaron Ordman.
Do we know how many people are in the show? Like, is it a small, large cast?
No. But it's going to be at the Signature Theater in Arlington, Virginia, from May 31st to July 3rd. You can get information at wewontsleepmusical.com. And there's another...
Interesting.
And as part of this article, there is another, just it's sort of a sidebar, but there's another musical about women's suffrages that's going to premiere off Broadway at the Public in March, from Shana Taub, starring, get this cast, Nikki M. James, Philippa Sue, and Jen Calella.
Come on.
No, I'm not. I'm staying right here.
That's fascinating.
That does sound fascinating, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
When is that coming out?
Let's see. March of 2022. Not all that far away at the Public.
No, not far away at all.
Yeah. We did have a passing of a producer who I'm pretty sure I knew in some way, shape, or form back in the day. His name is Leonard Soloway. He had 59 Broadway shows, and he had a whole bunch of Tonys.
That's a good amount.
Passed away at, I think, 80 somewhere. 40 Tony Awards, 21 Drama Desk Awards, and 3 Pulitzers.
Wow.
I thought he was one of the producers of Oh Brother, the show I did, but I went back and looked, and I did not see him. But he's got a very storied career. Leonard Soloway, rest in peace.
Yes.
And then I also have in here A Strange Loop, which is at the Woolly Mammoth in DC, and it's extending. We've talked about the Strange Loop here. It was off Broadway at the top of the COVID crisis, and it's about a queer writer working on a job that he hates while writing his original musical about a black queer writer working at a job he hates writing an original musical.
It's a weird, strange loop.
Yep. It's A Strange Loop, and very meta, very very title of show, which I think
very
we've made
title
that.
Title of show.
I believe
yeah.
we've made that comparison before.
We might have, actually, now that you say that.
Yeah, I think, methinks that we have. We do have a little bit of extra time, so we can talk a little bit more about Wild, the Idina Menzel musical is they're calling it, it's in an awkward phase of becoming whatever it ultimately will be. So this was written by the playwright known now as V, but used to be known as E. Vinsler.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah. And then Javier Munoz is in it, who was Hamilton. One of the more well-known Hamiltons. The story, it says the story takes place in a town called Outskirtsia. It's hard up for cash. The local farmers get an offer from corporate outsiders called the Extraticals, $50,000 apiece in exchange for drilling on their land. The community's adults are tempted. The teenagers are alarmed. And that strife is the primary tension of this show. So it's basically a generational thing. Idina Menzel plays a farmer. I don't see her as a farmer.
Yeah, you know, not exactly the role I would suspect in her career she'd be playing, but... No.
And all the young people rebel, and then they run away and turn into animals. Like the main, I believe it's Idina Menzel's child turns into a seahorse.
Interesting.
Yeah. But
people are definitely on some stuff in their creativity.
Exactly. And it's playing at ART at the Loeb Center through January 2nd, if people want to make a trip up there. It's an hour and a half long.
Yeah, I find it fascinating. I got to be honest with you. I'm curious.
Yep. And as we mentioned before, it's directed by Diana Paulus, the multiple Tony Award winner.
Yes, she
and
is,
everything
she,
you know, many things that she touched turns to gold, as they say.
Yes. Yes, yes.
As they say, was there anything in our last 2 minutes here? Is there anything locally that you want to highlight?
Oh, there's so much going on right now.
I know the Pastorelle, which we don't have them on. The Pastorelle is happening right now at the Mexican-American Cultural Center. It happens through this weekend. And I believe it is, Teatro Vivo.
I believe it is Teatro
so
Vivo, too.
If you Google Teatro Vivo, or you can go to atxtheater.org, and it's right there. Also, the last weekend of Unexpected Joy at Ground Floor Theater.
Last weekend of Unexpected Joy, last weekend of Miracle on 34th Street Radio Cast.
Also the last weekend of the, the title doesn't match this. I saw it. It's a good show at the Hyde Park Theater.
With Carlos and,
yes.
I think they just extended. I think I saw earlier today they announced they added some shows, maybe Street Corner Arts, correct?
Thank you. Yes. Street Corner Arts.
Yes, I believe I saw today they just added some shows due to demand, so that's good. We also have the Austin Playhouse holiday stuff. Vortex is coming up, but I think we get to talk to them next week, right?
We do, the Muttcracker.
Yep, so we'll get to talk about the Muttcracker.
Excuse me, you missed the cue. Let me try that again. Yes, yes, the Nutcracker.
Sweet!
There you go.
Let's see. Unexpected Joy, the Street Corner Arts, A Miracle on 34th Street Classic Radio Podcast.
And that show is called Strange But Perfect. It now says it's going through... Oh, that can't be true. It says it's
the
going through January... It says it's going through January 29th, but I'm guessing that's a typo, and it's
December
29th.
But
yes.
They did add a few good shows.
Yeah,
so that's
good for
great
them.
If you were unable to, yep. Get
all
that
right.
And missed it.
But we've got a role. We have to talk to Mark Puhay.
We do have to talk to Mark Puhay.
So I'm going to say goodbye to you, and we're going to talk to Mark, and we're going to close out the show.
All right. Au revoir.
Au revoir.
I'll see you next week.
Okay. And we will be right back after we hear this message from one of our underwriters.
For 50 years, the war on drugs has devastated communities of color and poverty across the world. Texas Harm Reduction Alliance seeks to end it once and for all. Through policy harm reduction
really
program
so
that offers safe supplies and education to people who use drugs in Austin, we are working to build a Texas with a more compassionate and fact-driven attitude towards drugs, the people who use them, and the policies created around them. Want to know more? Visit us at harmreductiontx.org.
Nicole, do you know who my favorite author is?
I do, Lisa. It is one Charles Dickens. We do talk about this gent.
I know. I call him Chuck.
Chuck.
Yeah.
Well, he's... you do love Chuck and his work.
Yep, I do. Zach Theater is doing a little piece of his called A Christmas Carol. It's not very well known.
No, not at all. I wonder if it might catch on to people.
It might. And we have here Ebenezer Scrooge himself, Mr. Mark Puhay. Hi, Mark.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. It's so great to
Hi,
have you
Mark.
On the show.
Welcome.
Hi, Nicole.
Yeah, it is great to have you on the show again. And I should say, this is Dave Stakely's version of Christmas Carol, which is has taken some liberties with what we know as a standard Christmas carol, and to many, to a great benefit. So tell us about the show a little bit, Mark, for those that aren't familiar.
Sure. I've seen it described as a jukebox musical, I guess a combination of musical songs from across many genres, pop, rock, rap. I heard country, but I'm not sure which one of the songs is a country song, but it's a combination of multi-talented actor, singer, dancers on stage. I'm mostly an actor. But we don't change Dickens, as far as Scrooge's words go, we don't really change them that much. But there's a lot of scenes in between and musical numbers that are huge and as big as anything you'll see in Austin.
Well, it's a lot of fun to watch. And I have not seen you. I missed you. But so I don't think it's, I think we've taken a year or two off. And then you did it last a couple years ago, which I did not get to see, unfortunately. But I will tell you, and you probably haven't heard this yourself, so you're probably getting it first. Word of mouth is pretty good.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Everybody says great things about the work you do. And of course, you're filling some big shoes. People like Jason Williams. And forgive me, but I forgot the other guy.
Harvey Keon.
Thank you. So that's pretty good. Ebenezer have a song? Do you sing a song?
I sing portions of songs. I don't think this is a surprise by this point, but I sing a little bit of Lizzo. I sing kind of a reprise of one of the songs that Roderick sings as the Reverend. I sing a reprise of that at the very end. I have a short rap in the middle, maybe 20 bars, so to speak.
Short rap was my sorority name in college. A lot of people don't know that.
Little short rap.
little short rap. That was me. If somebody is, let's just say somebody's like a boomer like myself and likes things the old way, what do you tell them? Why do you tell them that they want to come and see this version of Christmas Carol?
I say they should come and see this version because the elements of the story are still all there. And I do my best to really dig as deep as possible into Scrooge's, so to speak, origin story, and really understand what makes him tick and what makes him motivated. So it might give you a new perspective on the story that you're familiar with, you know, since childhood and all the different versions, the Disney versions, the Muppet version.
Is there a Muppet version?
Is a Muppet version. I love it because it does take all the traditional Victorian Dickens, all that is there, but it's just infused with this rocking good time. And it's like, there's honestly things that are so relevant and current with the music. And then there are things that are so timeless with the music that you feel like it's all still Victorian original. I it's just a lot of fun. I just have a lot of fun. That's just me. That's my two cents.
And the costumes. I mean, the costumes. If you just take a picture of the show, it looks like any traditional Scrooge. Obviously, not too many Scrooges of color, but the costuming and the 19th century costume work by Susan Branch Towne is fantastic. But it's just so. It's such a dynamic show. Such an exciting.
That Susan Branch Towne, if she works at it, she may go somewhere. She just might get somewhere. So we love Susan. Who else of note is involved in this show? We know that Dave Stakely directed it.
Sure. Alan Robertson is a fantastic, fantastic director of music or musical director. He will piece together the songs, and I've seen it happen. He'll take a song and we need to make some changes, or he'll make a remix really on the spot and make the adjustments there. We've got a fantastic lighting team, a fantastic dance instructor. Jen is our fantastic choreographer, and they do so much. So much of the rehearsal process was choreography. I'll be honest, because I don't do the show. I spent a lot of rehearsals just, you know, running my lines and watching them perfect these dances and movements all over. So it was
fantastic. Well, I want to be in the show just so I can wear a top hat.
Yeah, there's a couple of top hats. There's a few.
Yeah, I want to do that thing where they go bam and they stick their fist in it and the hat opens up.
I have a question for you. How do you personally feel about Scrooge? Do you feel like, I know you've played him before and then you kind of went on break and you're back playing him again. Did you like him in a different way or look at him in a different way?
I viewed it as a challenge the first time I was playing it because like you said, there's such big shoes to fill, not just with Harvey and Jason, but just Scrooge is one of the large characters, almost Shakespearean in nature of theater and literature. So I wanted to, I'm younger than most typical Scrooges, you know, maybe by maybe 20 years. I'm African-American and you don't see that portrayed as often. So I was more nervous the first time, just making sure that I did it right, but made it my own without messing up. to put not too fine a point on it. But the more I studied him and researched him, and just the story, it's all in the text. So much of his life is defined by loss, loss of his mother, loss of his sister, loss of his first love. And the idea when you call somebody Scrooge or a hermit or whatever, you're like, you know, they don't just become that. Nobody's born hating people. Nobody's born just greedy. I mean, I guess there could be arguments for that, but all those things that made Scrooge that way, and finding the redemption arc towards the end where he becomes such a generous, loving person and a lover of people. So it's not that he really stopped caring for money. He used the money to help people and he loved the people so much that he realized what was truly important. That's probably one of the biggest character arcs of any characters I've ever played, you know, bigger than Othello, bigger than Macbeth, bigger than and any of the big Shakespearean characters I've ever played. So it's a huge honor and pleasure to play this character.
Yeah. It's got to be difficult. And of course, I wouldn't expect nothing less of you. But when you play somebody like Scrooge, that is not only an archetype in general, like a Macbeth or a Othello, it is so ubiquitous that we've seen so many different things. I could see how it could be quite easy for an actor to fall into something that they've seen in the past. But clearly, by the way you've dissected the character for us here, even on this show, you have not done that.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I hope that comes across. And I hope people, I hope and I know, because I have so many people commenting to me directly either, well, not so much in person this year, because fun fact, we're, as actors, are not really allowed to mingle in the lobby after the show because of
COVID. Yep. Fantastic. It makes a lot of sense.
So it's kind of like our little NBA bubble for the.
Go ahead. Oh, sorry.
I've had a lot of comments in my inbox talking about, you know, I loved how you kept him classical, but you put so much life into him and made him real. And these are people who have seen the story over and over. So that's, I think it's working. I hope so.
Well, great. I know that you're playing there at the Top for Stage till January 2nd. You may or may not know this. I do know it, but I'm going to let you answer it if you know it. Do you know what kind of COVID mitigation is in place there at the Zach?
Yes, at least proof of vaccination or a recent negative COVID test, I think within 72 hours. Definitely have to wear masks in the theater. So, you know, don't get up there and try to negotiate. Since we're not allowed to say prices, you'll have spent whatever you spent and get up there and have to negotiate and go back home. And
nobody wants to negotiate with you. Yeah, that's very good and so important that we maintain our vigilance on this disease. So, Mark Puhay. Oh, and the website that people should go to get information is?
Zachtheater.org.
That is absolutely correct. You get the prize.
Ding, 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 ding.
You get a little chocolate hazelnut bar. It'll be mailed to you.
Chicken dinner, chocolate hazelnut dinner.
Well, best to you on the rest of the run. I know it's going to be great. And folks can go to zacktheater.org to get information about A Christmas Carol that is playing through January 2nd at Zack Theater on the top of the stage.
In a foreign city, in a grumpy mood, I just arrived from somewhere, need a place and need some food. Don't carry too much with me.
Okay, we've done it. That's an hour of Offstage and On the Air. We are happy that you are joined us. You can find us on the social medias. Please look at offstageonair.com for show notes and things like that. The Texas Music Mixtape is up next with DJ Mark. He is in the house. So we'll see you next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. Bye, everybody.
Traveling is fine, but gee, I'm missing the good old you. In a foreign city, in a grumpy mood, I need some relaxation, need to stare a bit and brood. It's raining, I've a headache, and I've got an attitude.